The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is he." Others said, "No, but he is like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." So they said to him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, anointed my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. And they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born in utter sin, and would you teach us?" And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see me may see, and those who see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, "Are we also blind?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say we see, your guilt remains." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for the light that has come into the world. And we ask that today, as we read your word, think about it, that the light of the Spirit of God will illumine its pages upon our hearts and minds, and glorify Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You are, of course, aware of various people, well-known, famous people, and their struggle with blindness, how they've gone on being blind to achieve great things. People in the music industry that we're familiar with, Stevie Wonder and Ray Charles, Andrea Bocelli, and many other marvelous musicians. Painters. I was reading about a guy from El Paso, Texas, John Bramblett. And John became blind because of diabetes at the age of 30, and he became a painter, and he started painting. And the way he knows what the colors are is by touching it and the textures of the paint, and he can determine the colors. Writers, poets, Helen Keller, Aldous Huxley, John Milton, even Homer, who wrote the Iliad, was blind. And then there are those in the world of sports. I just heard of Eric Wiehenmayer. On May 25th, 2001, he climbed Mount Everest. And Zohar Sharon, who was a part of the Secret Service with Israel, and because of an accident with explosives, he was left blind, went on to become a blind golfer. A blind golfer. Amazing people. But for me and for our family, we have people that we know that are the most famous in our world. We've talked about them before. Forgive me if it's a repeat, but maybe some of you have not heard about our friends and our family friends. About 25 years ago, our daughter Joycelyn went to Geneva College. As you know, she is in a wheelchair with CP. And while Joycelyn was at Geneva, she became best friends with Krista. Krista was born blind. Krista was born with a congenital issue where she has no eyeballs, okay? It's a genetic thing, and she was born with no eyes. And Krista is a fabulous musician. We had her, Linda and I, at our wedding. She played, and just an unbelievable musician. But she and Joycelyn cemented a friendship back then, a long time ago, that has kept on going through the years, 25 years or so now. Through college, and then Krista met Brett, who is from New England, attended the Boston School of Music. He also has the same genetic disease problem, no eyes, and is blind. Well, they got married and started living in a little house here in Donegal. And then, lo and behold, to everyone's surprise, Krista became pregnant. Well, we all thought, wow, you know, maybe this is not the smartest thing to do, right? Because what's going to happen? And sure enough, little Hannah was born, same thing, no eyes. She's now, I think, 12. But the three of them, you know, life is hard enough, right? If you can see, and working, and raising children, and just living your life. But to go to their house, near their little house in Donegal, as we do sometimes, and to see the three of them living their lives like you and I do, and raising children and doing all that you have to do. They are Christians. They serve the Lord. They are so joyful and so happy. And I have never heard them complain, really. And life, as you can imagine, is hard. Hard enough with one person, but the mom, the dad, and the daughter. And they're all extremely gifted when it comes to music. This is our fourth series in our Lenten season about returning, and Lent is a time of return. We talked about returning from sin, and David in Psalm 51 and his return from sin. We looked at Nicodemus in John chapter 3, who had a return from religion and realized that you can be steeped in religion, that you can be going to church all the time, but not have Jesus. And Nicodemus had the return. Last week, we had a return from restlessness. We met the woman at the well, and her life and her restless heart, her thirsty heart, who was a life of searching through all of these relationships and men that she had, a restless heart is returned when she meets the Savior. And today, of course, it's clear we have a return from blindness, a return to seeing. It's the story of a man born blind, and Jesus gives him his sight. Now, it's an important miracle because nowhere in the Old Testament does anybody give a blind man sight. Doesn't happen in the Old Testament. It doesn't really happen by any of Jesus' followers. One incident in Acts where Ananias, Saul is temporarily blind from the road to Damascus, and Ananias touches him, but for the most part, there's no sight given by Jesus' disciples. Of all of the healings that Jesus does in the Gospels, there are more in this giving sight than anything else. Seven in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and then we have this one in John. But of all of the miracles and the categories of healings, it's the giving of sight that he does the most. It's associated in the Old Testament with God himself. It is a sign of the messianic kingdom. Isaiah says, this is how you're going to know the Messiah is here. He will give sight to the blind. Well, John likes to speak in cryptic language. He likes to give us metaphors. He likes to say one thing but mean something much deeper and spiritual, as with the new birth when he writes of Nicodemus, and Nicodemus is told that he must be born again, and he's thinking of going back into his mother's womb, and we found out, no, it's a spiritual rebirth. And it was the same for the woman at the well, who came with her bucket to quench her thirst, and we find out that it's much deeper. Jesus says, if you drink this water, you will thirst again. If you drink the water that I give you, you will never thirst. So there's something else going on here. And so it will be again with the man born blind and what happens in John chapter 9. This man, like my friend Krista, had a congenital condition. The Bible says he was born blind. He's the only one that it says that about. The word used, the Greek word that describes it, is only used here in all of the New Testament. He's born blind, and immediately the question is from the disciples, why? Why is he blind? Whose fault is it? Did somebody sin? Did his parents sin? Did he sin? Immediately when there's a problem, we think, right, who's to blame? Why is this happening? The disciples and the Pharisees somehow think it's connected to his sin. But it's a question that has been asked for all of time. Why is there suffering? Why is there pain? Why is there death? How do we make sense of our world? What's wrong with it? I've been teaching the teens during Lent, and we've been talking about a worldview. And what is a worldview? How do you see the world? Where did it come from? Where are we going? How do you know what's right? How do you know what's wrong? And one of the questions that we've been trying to answer is that it's a worldview question is, what's wrong with the world? How do you define that? And how do you fix it? And so this is the question that is posed. Why is this man like this? Why is there a problem? What's going on here? And we find out that this man is a representative of the entire human race and the situation that we find ourselves in. Until the true light comes, we are all in darkness. We are all in darkness. Spiritual darkness. And it's very important to take note that the distinction in this story, and you may have heard it preached incorrectly. I may have preached it incorrectly. But the distinction in the story is not who are the blind people and who are the seeing people. Commonly, you hear that. But that's not it. What it is, what John is telling us is, what the distinction is, the difference here is that the two groups here are those who know they are blind and those who claim they see. Those who know they're blind, they're all blind. Right? Everybody is in the darkness. Some people know it, but others, the antagonists of our story, claim that they indeed see and know the way. And this can only be revealed when the one who is the light of the world comes and return from blindness only begins. We mentioned the last time that we're looking at these three things. There's regret, there's repentance, and there's restoring. And regret simply means I have a problem, right? The way a return begins is by saying, I'm on the wrong path. Something's wrong here. And the blind man says, you know what? I don't know a whole lot. I'm a beggar. I'm not maybe the smartest guy in the world. But I know I'm blind. I know I can't see. I know I'm in some darkness here. I need some help. And it's interesting that the Pharisees try and change that story. Okay? They try and change that. They say, they question whether or not he was born blind. Well, wait a minute. They bring his parents in. They interrogate them. They're afraid. And then they question him. And the whole thing starts out with, are you sure? You don't have a problem. You aren't born blind. There's nothing wrong. And that's the way the culture works, right? That's the way the world works. You're fine. There's nothing wrong. There's no problem. In fact, don't worry about sin. There is no sin. Sin is what you say it is. You determine. How do you feel? That's what's right. That's what's wrong. It's a very subtle argument, but the antagonists here, the Pharisees, they begin here by trying to say, there's no problem. Everything's good. He says, no. Uh-uh. No, there's a problem. I was blind. I know it. I know something's wrong. The only thing that can make sense of a dark world is the coming of the light. The light of the world. Who comes from above. Who comes from outside of our world. Who comes from the future into the present. John in chapter 1 says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. We can make sense of a dark world only by allowing the light to come in, by turning to the one who is the light of the world. And notice that Jesus takes the initiative. He is the one seeking to bring this person back. Just like the person, the woman at the well, I must go through Samaria. It is Jesus who takes the initiative. This guy is sitting here. He says nothing. He asks for nothing. After he's cast out of the temple, Jesus goes and finds him. He takes the initiative to return him to the light. The urgency of it. It's not something that's going to always be available. We must work. We, Jesus says, you and me, the disciples, we must work the works of him while it is daylight. The time frame here is not a thing where it's always going to be available. There's an urgency into leaving this darkness and coming to the light. Well, the only one in the story who returns to the light, the only one liberated, is the blind man. The parents are a part of a story, but what happens to them? Why is it that people do not want to come to the light? Why is it that they stay in the darkness? Well, for the parents, it's fear. They live in a world ruled by fear. They know it's going to cost them something. Right? They're afraid the authorities come by and they say, we want to know about your son and tell us all this. And they just say, we don't know. Ask him yourself. Because standing for Jesus, there's going to be a cost. And his parents aren't willing. They're too much in fear of the authorities. And then the authorities, the religious authorities in this case, they fear for their authority. They want to hang on to their power. They don't want to lose their power. But the man is a new man. He is unrecognizable by his neighbors. His meeting with Jesus has had such a change on him that he's unrecognizable. He's a new person. And as the story goes, through his humility and his confessions of, I don't know, and his simple faith in realizing of his situation, as the story goes, he progresses towards the light. The light becomes brighter and brighter, and Jesus starts out as only the man in verse 11, and then he's the prophet, and then he's someone you give your allegiance to in verse 27, and then he's from God in verse 33, and then in verse 35, he's the Son of Man who should be worshipped. He moves and progresses from his blindness to the light. For the Pharisees, it's just the opposite. It's just the opposite. They go deeper and deeper into darkness. They start out with, he's not from God. They question his miracle. They call Jesus a sinner. They don't know where he comes from. And then finally, Jesus declares them blind and sinners in verse 41. And so why is it that people won't come to the light? Why? Fear? Fear of the cost? Also to hang on to their power. Light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light. It threatens the wisdom of the world and its systems, threatens their power. I was recently this week had the opportunity to talk to one of our college students, and I asked, do you feel like your faith is threatened at college? And they told me this story that in the process of their work, they have to prepare some reading for children, pre-education, but they're not allowed to choose anything that tells the Christian story. They can choose something from any religion. I mean, it could be Muslim, it could be Hindu, it could be anything, but by no means can they choose a Christian story. And if they want to talk about St. Patrick last week, they couldn't talk about St. Patrick because we all know that he was a Christian and his mission was to bring Christ, you know, not to fill up people with green beer or whatever, but his mission was to bring Christ to a whole country. They couldn't mention that. They could mention leprechauns, but not St. Patrick. You see, the darkness and the light are at odds in our world. The darkness and the light. And the world and its systems are threatened by the light. The coming of the light must always threaten their systems because it can only be received, in simplicity when, as a simple childlike way, with gratitude, by a man who says, one thing I know, I was blind, but now I see. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.